I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Fabulous Adam Richard,
and I have a theory.
Oh, hello, chickens. Woo. We did get to the end of Matt's missive on season six a week or so ago. I went on a tangent, a whole week's worth of tangent off to Wendy Padbury World. And then we watched The Mind Robber, Tales of the TARDIS. It was fun. I mean, it was fun for me. I don't know how you people are coping. But in Matt's missive, he was excited about the Doctor, the Widow, and the Wardrobe, which he popped at the end of season six because it was the Christmas special, even though it's on the season seven box set disc thing. There's two Christmas specials in that season because Stephen Moffat took so long making Doctor Who that I think he had, season seven's got nearly three Christmas specials in it. Like, it's a lot. The seventh series of Doctor Who was like Christmas special, Christmas special, Christmas special, and then Peter Capaldi turned up. It was a hectic time for all of us. And a 50th anniversary. It was a big year. It was a big 3 years, really. If there's three Christmas specials, that's 3 years. I remember not loving the Doctor, the Widow, and the Wardrobe. So when Matt was talking about how delightful it was, Claire Skinner being just incredible as Madge Arwell, I remember her being quite nice and adorable. I was like, why? Why did you love this so much? I remember hating it. So I went back and watched it again, and I think the reason I hated it was because of everything that came before. Because I was getting quite annoyed at the whole soap opera-ness. That's not even a word. The soap opera storyline. You know, Amy's baby, then not having the baby, then Riversong being the baby, and then the Doctor dying but not dying, and the Doctor being the Tesselector, and it was a lot of convoluted weirdness. Like that last episode, The Wedding of Riversong, has no storyline realistically. It's a bunch of events trying to tie things up, and it's like they're exciting moments. Like it's, you know, same with A Good Man Goes to War. Like nothing really happens except there are a bunch of things that are important to the ongoing storyline, and it's like, but you know, like at least with the, you know, the Day of the Moon and the Impossible Astronaut, we had like a kind of a fun story about beating the Silence, and the Silence were great, and that was, you know, exciting. But yeah, so I think I was just like, yeah, I've had enough. I don't like it. So I watched it and was like, you know, the Doctor's being too silly. This is dumb. I don't like it. So I watched it again this week, going, well, if Matt loves it, maybe it's worth another look. And, you know, as I said, I have some of these episodes I haven't seen since they were on. And as he points out, it's been 12 years since this was the Christmas special. So I really enjoyed it in a way I had never before. It's really fun. Like, Madge is wonderful. Why hasn't she come back? I know Matt said, you know, he imagined she joined Torchwood. but what a great character. Like, she's amazing. She carries the whole forest in her head. She's like, oh, yes, I never thought about carrying a forest. She can't drive, and it's delightful. The Doctor being in the spacesuit backwards is hilarious. It's just... like, there's so much fun in it. You know, the other thing I think it annoyed me was because there were kids in it, and I am always wary of Doctor Who having actual children in it. Because the couple of times they tried in the past, it was terrible. I mean, there was the spooky kid in Remembrance of the Daleks, which I enjoyed. But, you know, we've all seen The Twin Dilemma. It's no good. by the way, Matt, author of the missive, sent me for my birthday the John Nathan Turner book. John Nathan Turner was the producer of Doctor Who from, 1980, like until 89 when it finished. Like, so he was the producer for the whole end of the whole thing. And... yeah, the reason the Twin Dilemma exists is kind of icky. It's a fascinating book, though. Like, it's, you know, the guy who's written it has done interviews with heaps of people. He used to do interviews for Doctor Who magazine when he was a teenager. It's so cute. But yeah, there's a whole lot of business going on about why certain things happened. But yeah, it was fascinating. It's a really good book if you get a chance to read it, and if you're really that desperately into the crazy production. Also reminded me of, like, you know, in Britain now, producers are often, like in America, you know, they're showrunners, which are basically the head writer / producer, and they're in charge of everything. And yeah, I listened to a podcast once with an American woman who was talking about how frustrated she found working in Australian television. She goes, because I've never seen so many non-writing producers work on a TV show. And that is a problem. It's just, you know, producers are kind of like just in charge of the everyday running of the TV show. And sometimes the writing gets in their way. Whereas if you're the head writer and the executive producer, you're kind of, you know, the two things are going in concert with one another, as opposed to one of them being just annoying. It's like, well, why do we have to have it like that? Because that's the story. Anyway, but it would look better like this. Yes, but that will also be confusing. it's... you know, it's how it works. It's the TV's strange. Anyway, I've gone way off track. but yeah, I really did enjoy it. Like, this time, it was actually quite delightful and gleeful, and it was a really cute moment. Because we've come out of so much kind of bleakness and death and destruction in the show, and, you know, even though there's meant to be the joy of getting married, of the Doctor marrying River, also a thing I was not okay with, because why is the Doctor getting married? But, you know, he gets married, and, you know, that's happened now, and I've dealt with it. Because, you know, I don't want to be one of those crybaby fans who's like, oh, the Doctor got married, the Doctor should never get married. It's like, well, you go, well, now he's married. Like, let's deal with it. Let's see how we feel about this experience as it goes on. Like, what's the point in being hideously resistant to everything that comes down the pipe? Because then are you actually enjoying the thing that you claim to enjoy? I mean, the internet is rife at the moment with people furious about the X-Men having a non-binary character and the head writer talking about their experience being black and gay on the this is the new X-Men 97 cartoon, and that, you know, the X-Men really spoke to them. And like, there's all these people furious, like, how can they be ruining the X-Men and making it woke? And it's like, the X-Men was always an allegory for racism. It was always an allegory for homophobia. Like, there, I remember in the like the 90s, there was a whole, there was like a disease that only the X-Men got, like the only mutants got, as if it was, you know, like an AIDS parable. Like, this is just the world that that's the X-Men. So yeah, it's like, I don't understand when people get angry at Doctor Who for being progressive, or Star Trek, or now the X-Men, and you're like, have you actually watched this show? But yeah, so, you know, I feel like 12 years is long enough for me to have gotten over whatever it was that annoyed me. And absolutely, like, I really enjoyed the Doctor, the Widow and the Wardrobe in a way I didn't think I ever could. It's not as good as A Christmas Carol, the one with Michael Gambon, which is just a masterpiece, like one of the best episodes of television ever made. But it's still a really great episode of Doctor Who, and Matt Smith is always just a delight. Claire Skinner's a delight. Bill Bailey's in it. Arabella Weir, who played the Doctor at Big Finish. It's fun. All right, more of Matt's missive in the next episode.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.